No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons. Getting to some of your questions in the chat. You anticipated it. Either that or you're just really good at reading headlines. How much hope do Rockies have going into 2025? Norm saying in the chat, what are your expectations for Colorado and what are you looking for as far as signs of progress? Well, the win-loss record is not a major one for me. You do want to win more games than last year, but it's who you win those games with. I think that is most important. That's one of the things that I've said a lot on the Rockies Insider this offseason. You could only, quote-unquote, lose 99 games with a bunch of veterans, or you could lose 110 games with all of your young players and have a much better idea as to what you have going forward. Finding another Doyle, finding another Tovar, having Doyle and Tovar step up another notch where they become all-stars. They're already Gold Glove Award winners, but can they become all-stars? Those are more than just the two guys that I think Rockies fans are really hoping can break out in 2025, and you get a much better idea about what you've got in Nolan Jones. And can Zach Veen and Jordan Beck take a big step forward in their first full seasons in the majors? Should both of them even get those opportunities? Wild the Innocent, always good to see you in the chat. I'm on my fourth cup of coffee after waking up early to turn on game one this morning. Well, you probably had too many cups of coffee, because if you just had your fourth right now, caffeine stays in your system for like 6 to 8 hours. So you're still going to be up to midnight now. You got to flush that out of your system. Drink a lot of water, get some electrolytes, some liquid IV, flush it out so that you can go to bed a little bit early. For me, look, I like my circadian rhythms. 90-minute intervals are key, so I'm not going for 9 hours tonight. I'm going for 10 and a half. I got to make up for a little bit of sleep. I put up a lot of new videos over on the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube, stuff from Brendan Doyle, Zach Veen talking about how excited he is right now and some of his expectations about possibly making the team, the opening day roster, that is. So a lot of really, really new video you got to check out over there. But The Athletic did something that they've done the last couple seasons. I believe this is their fourth year. And they get subscribers all around the country. I imagine they have less and less Rockies subscribers, Rockies fans, because they ended up killing their coverage. Nick Roque did an outstanding job, first for the Denver Post, then for The Athletic. Outstanding job. Someone that I looked up to, someone that I learned a thing or two from in being around him. And unfortunately, The Athletic said, well, you know what? I know we said we want to be in a lot of these communities or in all of these communities to give you that hometown touch, but we decided we're going to break our promise to you, to break our promise to all of those communities and those cities around the U.S. that have baseball coverage. And look, if you're listening to this show and you know me, you know that other companies have broken that promise to their diehard fans. So going back 4 years, they've done this where Rockies fans, fans of all 30 teams, will vote. What's their hope? They get asked a couple questions, but what's your hope for 2025. And Dodgers fans, to no surprise, they rank top of the list. They are the most optimistic. 99.7% of fans, optimistic. That's pretty wild. 99.7. Maybe even more surprising, the Diamondbacks are right behind. Fans of the Diamondbacks are at 99.4%. Incredible. Rangers, Mets, Royals, and Red Sox fans, 3 through 6, are at 90% and up. Middle of the pack. Who's right in the middle? 14 through 17. Tampa Bay at 73.8%. Their fans optimistic despite having to play in a minor league ballpark. Okay. No shade. No shade being thrown there, but they like their young guys. They do. And look, I think this is probably one of those years where they do bounce back, where they didn't have it together in 2024. So you know they are waiting in the weeds. At number 15, you had Cleveland, 16 with San Diego. At number 17, Yankees fans are at 68.1%. Not sure how many people voted before Gerrit Cole was lost for the entire season. I'm thinking a lot of people got their votes in a little bit earlier. Yankees fans might end up really being in the low 20s right now at this point. But here's the final five, aka the hopeless. At 26th, fans of the Marlins, 15.6% are hopeful. It makes sense they'd be so low because they've signed only one big league free agent this entire offseason, Cal Quantrill. Number 27, fans of the St. Louis Cardinals, 11.9% are optimistic. They're the only team in Major League Baseball to not sign a single free agent to a big league deal. 28th, the Angels at 11.5%. Say what you will about their owner, but I imagine a lot of the fan optimism has something to do with being disgruntled about their owner and how the way he does business. At 29, your Colorado Rockies at 8.8%, only 0.1 percentage point ahead of number 30, the Chicago White Sox at 8.7%. Where does that rank in terms of the last couple years? Almost identical. Now, here are some of the Rockies fan comments that I do want to read. Here are some of the comments. And yes, Nolan left Colorado for not signing anyone. Yeah, right away, 2022 is when they had the first hopeometer. And the results were not much better than they are right now. But here are some of the Rockies fan comments. Quote, I'm more optimistic I'll drink a martini stirred with ice from Pluto than I am that the Rockies will qualify for the postseason in my lifetime. That's pretty snide. Second quote, I'm optimistic that taking in a game at Coors Field will remain undefeated. Otherwise, maybe one day someone really rich will make an offer that current ownership can't turn down, and then we can join the list of teams actually trying to win, end quote. And then finally, we're safe from relegation, and we're a month from Coors beers on the rooftop, end quote. Last year, 2024, Rockies, in terms of hope, dead last, 4.6% in terms of optimism. So about half of what it is now. So the hope has doubled. And thanks to the White Sox, Rockies are not last. They're 29th. In 2023, this is what I found interesting. I don't remember, I mean, I do remember plenty of details, but nothing jumps out as to why only 1.8% of Rockies fans would have said they were optimistic ahead of the 2023 season. Also 30th amongst the 30 MLB fan bases. Because this was actually before the Rockies had lost 100 games. But you'd only just gotten Ezekiel Tovar. You played all of 2022 without Trevor Story, without John Gray. Chris Bryant was a disappointment, being on the IL, spending much of that season banged up. But 1.8% in 2023, doubles in 2024 to 4.6%, nearly doubles again, 8.8%, 29th team in all of MLB in terms of hope. in the chat. Miami operates almost like a farm club for other teams. It's just a matter of time before they trade their young players, usually when they hit arbitration, when they get a little bit pricey or near free agency. I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the comments from other fan bases that are a bit disgruntled that I thought were worth repeating. One Marlins fan said, quote, about the 1,000th year of the rebuild. True. Or rather the 1,000th rebuild for them. Fans of the Blue Jays said, how many times can you, quote, run it back before you've run so far back you find yourself in last? Lack of effort is securing a talented young core, bad contracts, and outrageous internal player evaluations. The $300+ million renovation will look awful when they can't fill seats. And it's interesting how some of these frustrated fan base have these quips or these comments about their favorite team, because a lot of these teams blend together. And you could almost say, if I didn't tell you what fan base this quote came from, you might think it's this team, that team, perhaps another team. But the Blue Jays right now are in an interesting spot, because I haven't sat down and made my final American League predictions just yet. Still got a little over a week. But the Blue Jays very much have a chance to go to the postseason this year. I think a lot of fans are obviously, and rightfully so, disgruntled that they weren't able to get a deal done with Vlad Guerrero Jr., despite the fact that he went to the Jays and said, I'll do like a 15-year, $500 million deal. Jay said no. I believe that was the reported quote that Vladdy had to the Blue Jays. But they're disgruntled. That being said, they still have a really strong starting rotation. Chris Bassett's still there. Kevin Gausman is still there. Yariel Rodriguez, maybe you finally get to see what the Jays front office saw when they signed him out of Cuba. You know, there are still guys with ability. Jose Berrios is a player that I can remember, I think it was 6 years ago, I had pegged to win the AL Cy Young Award. And he's been kind of up and down, but you still see a lot of life in his outings. So they still have those pieces. They still have Springer, who's not the same Springer. They still have Vlad Guerrero Jr. They still have Bo Bichette. All of that does change after this season. All of that could change at this year's trade deadline. If the Blue Jays are out of it and they need to salvage something, they might end up having a massive fire sale. But with a fire sale that is massive comes a turnaround and a rebuild that gets done a lot quicker than when you drag your feet and you don't have a direction. Another comment from, or maybe I should let you think about what fan base said this. Fan of what fan base said, quote, in terms of their hopeometer, quote, I wish they would pick a lane. Are we going to spend the money to compete or reset with rookies and a couple of bad years before becoming dominant again? The team has seemed to be half in for 5 straight years. What fan base did that quote come from? Let's go ahead and lock in your answers. Los Angeles Angels. Yeah, that's about right. Because the Angels don't, they're rebuilding. If you're on the outside looking in, they're rebuilding. But they don't think that they're rebuilding. That's why they're going out and signing the likes of Yusei Kikuchi and bringing in Kyle Hendricks and promoting their guys as soon as they get drafted. I talked with one Angels fan during spring training and kind of quipped that, you know, who's going to be on the roster in August, you know, if they have their own fire sale and trade off some of their more veteran pieces to bring in prospects for the future, live to fight another day, right? That, you know, their starting shortstop right now is a junior at some Division I college that plays SEC ball. Like, that's their shortstop come August 5th. Because they promote so quickly. And it'll be interesting to see how the development of these players that they've been so aggressive in promoting, how it gets stunted. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you'll go back and look and say, it's always a crapshoot with prospects, but out of these five that they It's been probably a lot more than five. But out of these 10 that they promoted very quickly, you got a typical survey of, you know, this one guy really broke out. Three or four guys, you know, slightly above average players, one fringy, another guy didn't have a very long career. That's what can happen with draft picks. So, you know what? Give them that opportunity earlier than later. Don't waste that potential, right? Angels for sale, then not for sale in the comment. Yeah, I think I had heard that they were going to be put up for sale. Artie Moreno getting up there in years. But yes, not for sale, to my knowledge. Boston, also another comment, has been wishy-washy as well in recent years. A little bit, yeah. They've been a little all over the place. And right now, they are definitely on an in-year. They are on one of those years in which they think they're going to be contenders. And I think they will. They did have a sneaky good offseason with Walker Buehler. One-year deal. I think there's an option in there. Also bringing in Alex Bregman and the trade for Garrett Crochet. So Boston is ready to contend. Hey, how are you doing in the chat? Good to see you. Thanks for dropping by on the Rockies Insider on Blake Street banner. Another comment. Who did this come from? Fans of what fan base? Rather, fans of what MLB team said in the Athletic Hopeometer comments. Quote, the front office promised a rebuild, then didn't deal almost any of our aging talent. Made a tough rebuild year sadder with our fossils. Ooh, are there a couple of key words in there that will give you an idea as to what fan base this person is a part of? That would be a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Yes, they were supposed to cut a little bit of payroll by trading Nolan Arenado. Or after Arenado rejected his deal to the Houston Astros, it seemed as if they were going to pivot and then deal Eric Fetty, Ryan Helsley, try to get rid of some of their more veteran contracts, Steven Matz. Then that didn't happen. There's still a chance that the Cardinals are waiting for somebody to get hurt. And maybe that person is already hurt. Maybe Garrett Cole going down with Tommy John surgery. Maybe Arenado ends up going to the Yankees before opening day gets kickstarted next Thursday, March 27th. Sure, you're losing an ace and you're bringing in an above average, virtually perennial third baseman, perennial all-star, who's certainly on the wrong side of his career in that way. But you have a loss and you can definitely make a big improvement by bringing in somebody like Nolan Arenado. So baseball has definitely changed in that way where the off season is no longer just those winter months. You can still make late moves. You saw the Rockies do that with Jake Cave at the end of spring training. Bud Black said, look, that could still happen this year, depending on who gets kicked around. I think they've got enough pieces right now in camp to check off all the boxes. It seems like they did last year with Bradley Zimmer. Then they end up bringing in Sam Hilliard and then that trade with the Phillies to acquire Jake Cave. It seems like Nick Martini is going to fill that role, maybe even Sean Bouchard. But again, that kind of remains to be seen what goes on with the Cardinals. And then lastly, rooting for the blank. What fan base is this person a part of? Rooting for the blank is like missing a tooth. Your tongue knows it'll hurt, but it keeps going back to it again and again. It hurts every time, and you tell your tongue to find somewhere, anywhere else in your mouth to go, but it keeps coming back to that pit of pain and misery. What fan base did that come from? Go ahead and lock that answer in. That would be a fan of the Chicago White Sox, who They're 30th in terms of hope. And look, they've got some good young players on that roster. Opening day starter, Sean Burke, probably doesn't maybe get you as excited as the last couple years when it was Garrett Crochet and Dylan Cease. But their rebuild, you know, definitely hit a bump in the road. They were still rebuilding last year, but they thought they were on the way up, at least a little bit. And they definitely were not. But they got some good pieces in some of the deals that they were able to make. So we'll see what they end up doing this year. But White Sox fans definitely struggling. And you understand that. You feel their pain. So I think the question that I come to in terms of the Rockies is, can exceeding expectations increase the hopeometer for 2026? And it goes back to sort of where I started. It's how you win more games. And that how is who you win more games with. If Marquez and Gomber are the Rockies' two best pitchers, and then they leave in free agency, that's not going to give you a lot of hope going forward. What happens with Ryan Feltner? Does he take another step forward, or is he the same pitcher? If he's the same pitcher, that's still quality for the Rockies. That's still a really good number three starter. Is Kyle Freeland up and down? Is he healthy? You got to hope he's healthy above all else, especially with everything he's been through over the last 2 years and being leaned on as hard as he's been. Antonio Senzatella, what does his 2025 look like? Is Chase Dolander getting an opportunity? And what do those opportunities look like? How much success is he having? So if Marquez and Gomber are your top two pitchers, head and shoulders above everybody else, that's not a good sign for increasing your hope going forward. Unless they come back, I think Marquez is more likely to do that than Gomber, but if they're gone in free agency, the hopeometer is not going to go up. If Nick Martini, Kyle Farmer, and Tyro Estrada, and maybe even Chris Bryant provide better than league average performance this season, the hopeometer is not going up because you want the young players to be taking a step forward. You want those young guys being better than what we know them to be. You want Doyle and Tovar becoming all-stars this year. If they're not, and they provide the same performance, level of performance that they've been the last 2 years, I think that's okay. I think that's all right. You might be getting into the Ryan McMahon territory where, okay, there's hope that there's another ceiling, there's another level, another tier that maybe they don't get to, but still, that's a valuable cog in the wheel to have. You do want to see a lot more from Nolan Jones and Jordan Beck and Zach Veen and Hunter Goodman and Michael Tolia, Adiel Amador getting a lot more time in the majors. So there's a lot of guys that you want to see a lot more of in contributing. And if it's some of the older guys that aren't going to be around going forward, like the Martini, Farmer, Estrada, and maybe even Chris Bryant, that's not going to increase your hope. It's great if Chris Bryant can be back on the field. 20 home runs, say 75 RBI. That's great. That's more than what he has right now in 3 years with the Rockies. That is an improvement, and that is going to help you win more games. But going forward over the final 3 years of that deal, you don't necessarily feel better about the core of the Rockies, because I really wouldn't include Chris Bryant in that core right now. When you talk about, hey, how do they get back to the postseason? If it's relying on KB to be that aircraft carrier they thought they were getting when they signed him to a $182 million deal, that's just not going to happen. And if, again, the young guys can't establish themselves, then no, exceeding expectations and winning 70 games can ultimately be for naught. And I think that would be, again, bittersweet, because again, you avoided 100 losses. That's great. But you don't feel better about the future of the franchise. The future of the franchise is what it's all about. And you want to see the future right now, in the present day. And that can only happen if they're given those opportunities. So the hope right now is low, but there's nothing but potential for it to get bigger. Nothing but potential for it to grow with all of these young guys on the roster. And because there's so many of them, and yes, there's still maybe more veterans than you would like that are going to be on that opening day roster, you have to find a way to finish that bridge to the young players. Finish that bridge to this being a core that can get the club back to the postseason. If this is going to be a 2016 kind of season, and next year is when, 2026 is when you're battling for a playoff spot, well, you have to let the kids play, which is what Walt Weiss and Jeff Breidich, when he was the GM of the team in 2016, were able to do with so many of the young guys on the roster. Let them play and get out of their way. That has to happen to really exceed expectations. It's not so much about wins and losses. It really isn't. It's about who. It's about who is contributing and who is reaching out to me on social media. That's also what it's about. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, at Rockies underscore insider. Appreciate all of you jumping into the chat and giving this me this momentum for the rest of the week. But hey, as I like to say about momentum, it can only be as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.